You know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have a statement to make. Our lives are defined a little bit differently than most people's lives. So we're thankful for someone like the Apostle Paul, who had a lot of interesting experiences in his life because of some of his conflicts, some of his experiences. We profit because he wrote them down. Now, he wanted to encourage the believers at the Philippian church, and we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Very unique type of individual, a man committed totally to the person of Christ, to God, the Father, to the Holy Spirit. A powerful man. And he wanted to encourage this church, these believers. Verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is by the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have found loss for Christ. I don't know where you are in your experience in life, where you are as a believer. Sometimes we feel we've defined ourselves and then something happens and we must redefine ourselves. So he starts out this chapter in a wonderful way. It's a key to defining who we are. It might not seem like a key because there are so many things that come across our lives, so many aspirations. We wanted to do this. We wanted to meet this person. We wanted to have this marriage. We wanted to have these kind of children, this kind of job, this kind of free time. We wanted to do this in the wilderness. A lot of things come into our minds, into our lives, into our hearts. Now, from the passage we read, we realize that Paul was a very religious man. He always had some understanding of God. Some of you may not be religious. Maybe you don't have any understanding of God. Maybe you've come here and you enjoy being with this group, but really you don't live your daily life in the light of his word and who he is. But you're here. We're glad you're here. Think along with us the thoughts that the Lord has given. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, some of you are going through some very difficult physical matters. You have pain in your body. Some of you have chronic diseases. You're believers. You love the Lord. You love to be with those who love the Lord. But you're in pain. And you're in suffering. So a man gets up on the platform and he says, rejoice in the Lord. And you say, yeah, sure. Yeah, you can say that. I told you this story when we were in Quebec. Gaston Jolin was a man of the outdoors, wonderful man of God. And he took us, he said, I want to take you on a hike through a virgin woods and we're going to find a stream and we're going to go trout fishing. Now, I like trout fishing. I thought, oh, wow, going through the woods, virgin forest. Never been traveled before. This has got to be the greatest wilderness journey of our lives. Yeah, sure. 8 miles. We went into the woods. And we came across a stream about as wide as that aisle. And the trout were at least 5 inches. And then the mosquitoes came. And there were thousands of mosquitoes. And guess what? The heavens opened up and it began to rain. Mosquitoes. Rain. Now, I was with 2 other full-time workers, 3 other workers, and Jacques Jolin, Gaston's brother. One of the workers said, "Praise the Lord!" "Yeah, sure." "For what?" "The mosquitoes, the little tiny trout, 8 long miles in the wilderness." So he said, "Bob, what are you going to say?" "Don't lie. I don't feel like praising the Lord right now. I'm cold. It's miserable. There's mosquitoes." So Jacques, we make a lean-to. And we're all going to have sleep in that lean-to. But it's pouring. I don't know what Jacques, how he did this. He found some dry wood. He made a fire. The minute that heat came, I was so relieved. The lesson I learned, the lesson that that other brother seemed to have already learned, is we cannot allow circumstances to prevent us from praising the Lord. Paul had seen a lot. And there were those who were against his ministry. There were the Judaizers who demanded that even believers had to be circumcised. He was fighting this a great part of his ministry. To the Gentiles, we don't want to put regulations that are not intended for the body of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, to be able to rejoice in the Lord under every circumstance of life, we have to have an inner life that's in sync with God's will. There has to be an active inner life. The outward man is being destroyed. But the inner man is growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot allow circumstances, aspirations, desires on our part to interfere with this life that we know is in Christ. We'll never be a happy person. Some of you started out in relationships you thought would last forever and they folded. Some became despondent. Others, hard as it may be, worked through it and were able to find another life. But in all of these circumstances, what is the final analysis? Now, believe it or not, once you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you become a different person. You become part of His eternity. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. He could come at any time. We rejoice in that. We rejoice that the things that we may suffer will pass. But to live in these circumstances that we experience, there has to be a relationship with God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not easy. No one said it would be. We need to rejoice more. Even in our singing. Sometimes we sing very slow, very slow. Let's speed it up a bit. Can you think of singing "Oh Happy Day"? Oh happy day. We talk about a redeemer. But somehow we've got in our minds that the slower we sing, the more serious the song will be. Well, why? Was it written in that temple? You know, in many of our hymn books, there are signs of when to sing loud and signs when to sing softer. And yet we sing everything on monosyllable. Not every song, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of rejoicing in this chapel, among these people, among you, us. Now, it's easy to get sidetracked, and that's why Paul said, we're attacked. The Judaizers want their doctrines to be part of our... No. Now, aside from that, aside from your sicknesses and your ailments, rejoice in the Lord. You see, God knows our condition. He knows who we are. He knows that without Him, we are lost. Without Him, we can really not exist. Now, we can exist a human existence, yes. There are many people out there have no knowledge of God, and they seem like they're doing very well. Everything seems to be fine, and they're enjoying life. I know I have relatives who are atheists. But there's no rejoicing. Oh, but we rejoice in the human consciousness and the human condition. But there's no going beyond that. This is, he didn't say rejoice in your circumstances, rejoice in the fact that you're a human being, rejoice in the fact that you're created. No, rejoice in the Lord. Now, without a knowledge, a personal knowledge of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus, without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because He died on the cross for your sins, you can't put this thought into your life. You cannot rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice, don't get me wrong, but that rejoicing will always be on a temporary basis, always. Now, we do have temporary rejoicing. There are times when we feel really great and we can get the family over and we have meals and we have the festive seasons and we have a sort of a happy feeling. But it all passes. As a boy, it was this passing of everything that bothered me. Actually, I think it was what triggered my coming to know Jesus Christ personally. I'd say to myself, Christmas is coming, but it's going to be over. You can join the wrestling team, but it's going to be over. You can enjoy this ice cream cone, but it's going to be over. Everything's going to be over. Then what's left? What is there? What is there more than everything living? And then it's all going to be over. So I read the magazine, Science America, Scientific America. Okay, that's fine. And the man comes up with this wonderful thought. I have figured it out. In 3 trillion years, there will be a flat line and nothing will exist. Oh, that's wonderful. That should make you feel good. This infinite God relies on no one for his existence. Wants to come into your life and my life. He wants to expand our lives so that we will live in terms beyond the means of human conception. And Paul says to those believers, all different walks of life, all different educational backgrounds, all looking differently as we all do, I want you all, he says, to rejoice in the Lord. I don't know what your daily routine is, what you read, what you enjoy doing, but do you ever find yourself actually just rejoicing in the Lord, in his goodness, in his person, in his wisdom, and his grace, his salvation, what he makes possible in your life, how you're living, and you realize there is suffering, but you've been good to me, Lord, and I want to rejoice in you. I'm not going to rejoice, thank you that I have cancer. No. But in spite of the cancer, or in spite of whatever the disease may be, or in spite of the breakup of a marriage, these are human things that are happening to everybody around the globe. But I want to rejoice in you because you've given me a new perspective, a new life, a new identity, a new horizon. Someone read the scriptures this morning at the breaking of bread. He was rich, the Lord Jesus. He became poor, that through his poverty, we might become rich. And our expression of richness will never end. It's forever. So he says to these believers, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe, because it's a haven. A haven of rest. A foundation on which we build our lives. The foundation is a relationship with Almighty God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of us who knows God, who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, can now rejoice in him. We never want to minimize our relationship with Almighty God, because this relationship of Almighty God will manifest itself in our workplace, in our family, in our children, in our quiet moments, in our hobbies, in our fun times, in our sadness, in life itself. This God who loves us wants to live in our lives. But there are those, and Paul says this, I want you to rejoice in the Lord, because people don't want you to rejoice in the Lord. Friends, supposed friends, some parts of society, some parts of government, religious groups, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, which is the circumcision. They want to come in and rob you of this joy in the Lord that you possess through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now that's the exterior influences. But he says, really, he says in making this comparison that you should be solid now. Solid in your relationship to Almighty God, where you can rejoice in spite of what occurs. Now, we don't hide our heads. We don't recoil from our responsibilities. Now that we know and love God, now that we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we're going to do everything we can to honor his name, to glorify him. Whatever you do in word and deed, to all to the glory of God. And in that, that's safe, that's sound, that's wholesome, that's good, that's wonderful. But you're going to get criticism. And you're going to get negative responses from people who are trying to control your life. We want God to control our lives. He's given his all in giving his Son, the Lord Jesus, for our sins. He wants to change our habits, our understanding, our perspective. He wants to elevate us. Elevate us. This is the work of the cross. Jesus was raised up to die so that we might be raised up to live. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, never perish. I have a brother who passed away in March. He was a great artist. He has his artworks. But they're going to pass away. They're going to go. They're going to be gone. His statement, I do not believe in God. Goodbye. How do you define yourself? I don't know if I told you this, when I was in the service, the Army, U.S. Army was stationed in France. One of the soldiers was an out-and-out atheist. And he went to Spain and fell in love with a prostitute and came back and told the story and how much, what she meant to him. And I sat there and I thought to myself, you idiot. She's a prostitute. She's going to tell you whatever she wants to get your money. I said, do you think that woman loves you? I hope so. I want to go back. How much did you give her? Oh, we went into the whole thing. And then one night it was beautiful. The wind was soft and lovely. The air was just, it was really beautiful. And he was on guard duty. I was walking by. He said, Bob. I said, yeah. I forgot his name. Call him Ralph. I said, yeah, well, Ralph, what is it? Do you sense it's really beautiful tonight? I said, yes, it is. Now, he knew I was a believer. And he looked at me and he really got sad. I said, well, what is it, Ralph? What's the matter? I have no one to thank. You do. We got to be careful. God found us. He saved us. He gave us a newness of life. When I was growing up as a believer, there was all kinds of thoughts of how to control my life. I would listen to the radio and watch television. And this is the answer. This is the secret of life is this. And everybody was trying to get me to do what they thought was the right thing to do. It wasn't necessarily according to this, I was going to say, selon les écritures. I almost started speaking French. I don't know why. But that came to me in French. But it's according to the scriptures. But we do know God. We know what the Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. And this is what he says in verse 3. For we are the circumcision. We who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, how do people look at you as a believer? We have a friend. We met him when he was 19, a French man, when we were working in Quebec. He came to the French Assembly, he was growing up, but he always defined himself by what he did, his job. He never seemed to define himself as a believer in that job. What he did controlled his life and his thinking. Well, he called us recently. And we went and had a lovely meal with him. He's in his 70s now. We've known them both for a long time. Now, please don't get upset. Anybody who's in the wellness world, don't get upset now. But he's in how to get your body well. The right foods, okay, natural, okay, that's fine. But it is controlling his life. That's all he talks about. He's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a human being, yes. But he's now letting wellness control him totally. Nothing wrong with wellness. Oh, yeah. I've just gone on a no wheat, no lactic diet. But it doesn't control my life. I'm going to try it. I'm going to lose some weight and some things there. My doctor looked at me and said, what are you doing? I'm trying this out. Well, possibly you'll lose some weight. That's okay, fine. There's other issues I want to get. Either or. Now, this side said, no, doctor, none of this. Doctor, none of this. No, I'm not in that. No, I'm not going to get in that war. I'm not going to be defined by the flesh. What I do in this life. I'm going to be defined, hopefully, we're going to be defined by what God desires us to be in the inner man and how we demonstrate his character in our society. Well, I'm going to be a Christian. All right. But what's going to be the controlling factor of your life? Now, if you're in that, I like going to the gym, but if your gym time oversteps your quiet time with God, where really are your interests? Where are my interests? If I spend all my time with my grandkids are the interest of my life. Paul says, listen to me. I've had a very interesting life. Religiously speaking, I was top drawer. Top on the totem pole. I was a very religious, dedicated Jew. You want anybody to boast? If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Those are the sweet spots. That's the shining tribe. This is the one supposedly closest to God, to Yahweh. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Can't get any better than that. Concerning the law of Pharisee. Now, these people who are listening to this realize, wow, he was really a very devout, religious individual. Certainly must have had peace with God. He doesn't talk about peace here, though. Talks about his pedigree. Talks about everything he accomplished and tried to attain through religious activities. Concerning zeal, persecuting the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, which we are. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a member of the body of Christ. Let me say something about that. We're no longer just an individual living in this life, getting along and hoping to please and paying your taxes. No, you're part now of a living body. You're not alone. Wherever you are in the world, when I was in the army, I was trying to find other believers, and I did find some believers. I wanted to be with those who loved the Lord. There is a unity there. There's an expression of joy and rejoicing that you can't find anywhere else. It's fundamental to our lives. But he was persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is by the law, blameless. But those are all things that were gained to me. They didn't define me. They shouldn't have defined me, but they did. Well, I count them but loss. For Christ. Now, I don't know if I grasp that fully. The center of our existence today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is the person of Christ. Paul said in another place, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, to know Christ means we know the Father and we know the Holy Spirit. But Paul said, all those things that I strove to be, and whatever it is in your life you are striving to be, Paul says, I count those things as loss, that I may gain Christ. Now, wait a minute now. It doesn't mean that you don't continue on being a human being and trying to strive to get whatever you're in. I know when I was in high school, I tried to excel in sports. Okay, you can excel in sports. But they are not the governing factor of your life. They're not the center of your existence. The Lord God is. Especially the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center focus of your life. Now, you have to put up with something. You have to think this through. You want to achieve, you want to accomplish, you want to do something. But always try to put that in perspective to your knowledge of Christ. If what you are doing, whatever it may be, is robbing you of your enjoyment of God, then stop what you're doing. Now, if what you're doing doesn't affect this wonderful relationship with the Lord, fine. Might be a fine line of difference. We ate with my friend. That's all he talked about. He was angry at society. He was angry at those who lied to him about what things to eat and not to eat. Come off of it. I know a person who's written a wonderful book on wellness. Unfortunately, some people quote their books they've written more than the Bible. They know more about what they've written and less about what the Bible teaches. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. Where you spend your thoughts, where you spend your life, where you spend your time. What things were gained to me that profited me, these I have counted loss because they didn't profit Christ. Now, if what's happening to me is profiting Christ, okay. But we're funny. As human beings, we get all concentrated on self. We don't know we're doing that, but it is. Paul's declaration, for me to live is Christ, is not, for me to live is Paul and Christ. I'm a Christian because I want to see what I can get out of Christ. No, that's, I'm sorry. No. My life is governed by love, by commitment, by duty, by grace. These are terms that have meaning to God. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And he went through a great deal of persecution because he gave up the circumcision made with human hands. He gave up being a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He gave up being a Pharisee. He gave up all of his religious aspirations to gain Christ, to gain Christ's message of love and salvation through the gospel. Where are you? Without Christ? Then come to him and trust him as your Savior. You know Christ, but if I have time, Lord, I'll spend time with you. But I've got to do this activity first. There was a young man getting married. We knew him. You'd be married in a half an hour. He's got his marriage clothes on, his tuxedo, and all of a sudden he disappears. Comes back, ran 5 miles. I had to get my running in. Ran 5 miles. Sweating. I said, where have you... Where'd you go? What happened to you? You're getting married in 10 minutes. I had to get my run in. I got to run every day. Yo! What do you have to get in your life so that you can, what Paul says in the beginning of this chapter, rejoice in the Lord? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the experiences that Paul had in his life, and he could write them down and share them with us so that we might think through what it means to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for Paul's commitment, Father, to your Son. Help us to think this through. Help us to realize that we too can rejoice in you if we're honoring you in our daily lives. Watch over us today and speak to our hearts, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.